Well, it's on for young and old now, I think. Israel Folau has launched legal proceedings with the Fair Work Commission. That is against Rugby Australia and the Waratahs for breach of contract. Now, his lawyers argue that particularly under Section 772 of the Fair Work Act, that it was unlawful to terminate employment on the basis of religion. Now, I would imagine that legal representatives from Rugby Australia and the Waratahs would say it was a contractual matter rather than a religious matter. But on Section 772 of the Fair Work Act, I mean, it is a rather lengthy section of the Fair Work Act 2009. But the relevant section is Section 772, Part F, where employment is not to be terminated on the grounds of, and they list them here, race, colour, sex, sexual preference, age, physical or mental disability, marital status, family or carer's responsibilities, pregnancy, political opinion, national extraction or social origin, or religion. And so that's the bit that the lawyers are going for. And of course, depending on how this goes, I would imagine this will be like a rock thrown into a pond. There will be ripple effects right throughout corporate Australia, and particularly with these contracts and company ethoses that inform contracts. The Folau case, I would imagine, will be setting an element of precedent. On the line is Nicholas Marichak. We spoke to Nicholas a month or so ago when all this really started up. He's the director at MKI Legal. He's got plenty of experience in all aspects of employment law and workplace relations and unfair dismissal cases. He's on the line. Nicholas, thank you for your time.
Great to be here, Michael.
So since we last spoke, this has obviously now gone to what we both assumed would be the obvious next step, and that is legal proceedings, because between Folau and his representatives and Rugby and their representatives are, shall we say, compromised position that pleased both parties could not be reached, and so that's often what courts are for. So the Fair Work Commission now, at least, will be examining this. The lawyers, as I said, for Folau, looking particularly at Section 772 of the Fair Work Act, do you reckon they've got much of a claim?
Well, I think they've certainly got a claim, they're entitled to run it, but whether they'll win is a different story. I think it will be an uphill battle for them.
Okay, now, people would say, well, it looks like he's quoted the Bible. As a result of that, he's been given the flick. So, yeah, it looks like religious persecution to me. Open and shut case according to Section 772, Part F. But you say no. So why?
Okay, so the way that this claim works is it will be unlawful to dismiss Israel because of his religion. But Rugby Australia and the Waratahs will argue that they dismissed him because of breaches of the code. And Rugby Australia can run a good defence by saying, look, we have other Christian players in the sport. We don't treat them less favourably. And also Rugby Australia can say, look, we had a code of conduct committee hearing on this. The committee examined the evidence. They made the decision. So the decision was made for us. So we didn't terminate him because of his religious beliefs. We terminated him because of the findings of this external committee.
Now, the Folau camp surely would then argue, okay, you didn't terminate him on the basis of his religious beliefs. You terminated him on the basis that he expressed his religious beliefs, which basically, by extension, is asking him to suppress or keep to himself his religious beliefs. Does that then open them up for an opportunity?
Well, I think that Folau case is arguable, but if I have to pick whether he'll win or lose, I'm going to lean towards losing if it goes all the way to hearing. And Michael, these cases can settle at any stage between now and the final trial. The Rugby Australia will argue that the code of conduct doesn't actually suppress Israel's religion in any way. The code of conduct says you have to treat people fairly and equally, irrespective of their personal traits, such as sexual orientation. So the code itself is not treat anyone of the Christian religion less favourably. So that will be their argument. And there's something very interesting. I've actually found a case in the UK where a prison officer was preaching at a chapel service in the prison, and he's an employee of the prison, and he was preaching a Bible quote condemning adulterers, thieves, drunkards, and homosexuals.
Sounds familiar. Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you want to know the outcome of this case?
Yeah.
He alleged religious discrimination, and this is a UK decision, because he was issued a written warning. So he said he was persecuted based on his religion. So this is very similar to the facts he had before us, but
a
completely different country. Now, in that case, he lost, and it even went to appeal, and he lost then, because the UK Employment Tribunal said, look, the policies themselves did not disadvantage Christians or the Pentecostal religion, and the policies were proportionate means of keeping order, so the policies were reasonable. So that is something just to, it's important, even though this case, that decision is not binding anyway on our court, and our courts could decide differently. There is an example here of another country where a similar situation has happened and the employee wasn't successful.
And a similar legal jurisdiction in some respects, I suppose, Great Britain to here. You keep mentioning the code, Nicholas, and this is one thing that's certainly going to be central to this particular situation, isn't it? The code, Rugby Australia's code of conduct. Now, one might argue, or perhaps, I don't know, but I would imagine the Folau team might then by extension argue that, well, look, the code is actually the problem here. The code restricts our client's ability to express his religiosity. He's in no way breaking any law in what he says. He's simply quoting from the world's best-selling book. But from doing it, he's fallen foul of the code. Therefore, the code has to be changed to allow people like Folau to say or tweet or whatever the things that they want to tweet, as long as they're not transgressing the law. Now, if something like that were put forward and indeed were accepted by either the Fair Work Commission or indeed a court if it went further, I mean, that would have massive ramifications, wouldn't it, for almost every company, because almost every company has a code kind of similar to Rugby Australia's.
Absolutely. If Israel does win the case, it would have massive ramifications for businesses. Businesses in Australia would have to be very careful about the terms they write in their code, and they will have to change their code and make express exceptions for any religious statement. So absolutely, big ramification around all of Australia should Israel be successful.
Okay, so what's the legal process here then, Nicholas? Explain it for me. We've obviously had no success between, just mediation between the two parties. We're now off to the Fair Work Commission. There is obviously a legal step beyond the Fair Work Commission. So what's this particular step all about?
So the Fair Work Commission is the first step in Israel's journey towards ultimately a trial. Now, in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I expect the Fair Work Commission will conduct a mediation between Israel's team and Rugby Australia's team. And this mediation will be private, and this will be a chance to see if the parties can reach a resolution. If they settle, I'm sure we'll all know about it, but I'm sure the terms will be confidential. If it doesn't settle, then what happens is Israel has the option of moving further to the federal court is where he will likely take his claim, because he's seeking a big chunk of money in the tens of millions, up to $10 million. So if it doesn't settle, he'll go to a different court, federal court, and then his case will be programmed in the court system. And it could take maybe 6 months to 18 months to get to trial. But the federal court may have a second mediation with Israel, and force the parties to have a second mediation where it could settle. And it could settle any stage before trial. And a lot of claims do, but this claim is very different to the standard claim. A lot is riding on both sides here. And
yeah.
I'm sure Israel is really seeking to prove a point.
Well, no doubt. Massive ramifications, as we both agree, no matter what the decision here, which way it goes. And of course, if it, for whatever reason, starts to look as though legally Folau might get up, I would imagine Rugby Australia and the Waratahs be pretty keen to settle quick smart, because the story is that if they've got to pay $10 million up, they'll go broke.
Absolutely. There is no cap on the amount of money that Israel could be entitled to. He can seek the millions of dollars he would have earned for the rest of the contract. He can also seek all the missed opportunities to earn more revenue through sponsorships and other deals. And there could be a penalty imposed against Rugby Australia and the Waratahs, a fine to punish them for infringing on Israel's religious rights. So huge penalties, and that's what I hear. It could send them into bankruptcy.
Plus, on top of all of that, I would imagine, Nicholas, an element of compensation for lost reputation, damages, that sort of thing as well.
Oh, absolutely. and for hurt and humiliation as well. So it's quite accurate to say it could be, you know, up to $10 million because obviously Israel is a very big earner and lost a lot.
Well, you'll be keeping an eye on this, no doubt. I will. I'm sure all the listeners have an interest one way or the other in the outcome. And I very much thank you for your insight today. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you, Michael.
Nicholas Marichak, as I said, the director at MKI Legal.